Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Good morning to everyone. And not that we're here to plug Revel per se, but I'll just say that after that wonderful talk by my colleague, Professor Reinhold, I felt sort of back to my old student days with Professor Heimanzahl, but this was the new and improved version. And what you'll see, for those of you who are into the free will philosophy, I'm not going to give the answer to Professor Reinhold's question. We will go to something completely different, having a lot to do with Pesach, however. But the Mechaneh Meshutaf, I think the common denominator here is that we all love text, and these will be more medieval texts, and that's what we do at Revel. We talk text, and we talk ideas, and we talk all kinds of interesting things, we hope, and so I hope you'll bear with me for this as well. I'm going to share with you my material, if I can get it up there. Let me see. Hello. Okay, they can see my screen. I can't see you. Okay, hold on a second. Little technical stuff here. How about this? Do you see the text? Okay, great. All right. So you'll see me, I hope, but do you see me too? Yes, perfect. Okay. So this will help us. This nice text here will help us, I think, guide our way through what we're going to learn together, because we're going to do a bunch of text in 45 minutes. Kedarkeinu Bakodesh, I hope. And let me introduce the topic. It's a topic which I hope many know something about. And really, the Hebrew script here, you don't have to be a Hebraist or a Talmudist. This is sort of the visual script. I will give you the audio as I speak, and together we'll be able to get through all of it. So if you look at the very first part here, we have the statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Rival, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. I often like to ask, was Yehoshua ben Levi a Tana or an Amora? The answer is yes. But leaving that aside, he makes a wonderful series of statements about women's obligation in certain mitzvot, including mitzvot for Purim, just passed, and mitzvot for Pesach coming up. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Nashim chayavot mishum she'af hein hayu ba'ot tohanes. He makes that statement in Psachim daf kufchet amud aleph, going over to amud bet, about the four cups of wine. Women must drink the four cups of wine. He makes that statement in Megillah daf dalet amud aleph. There's a typo later. It says dalet amud bet. It's dalet amud aleph, about women being obligated to hear the reading of the Megillah. And he makes the statement in Shabbat Chaf Gimel about women being obligated to participate in the lighting of Hanukkah candles. You'll say, big deal. So obviously, aside from the inclusion of women, it is a big deal. Because normally speaking, as I indicate here, most Rishonim hold that women are exempt from mitzvot aseh shazman grama, even in mitzvot derabanan. Kol ma detikun rabbonon kein doraita tikun, when the rabbis established their mitzvot, they followed the pattern of Torah mitzvot, and they exempted women if there's a time-caused positive commandment. I'm getting the word here that it's very small, so I'm going to try to... How about that, folks? That better? Better? Yes, my wife's an optometrist. She's not here right now, but she would be happy to help me with this. But in any case, okay. Is that better, folks? I hope so. Good. Okay. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi makes this statement for these three mitzvot. Women should have been exempt from reading the Megillah on Purim. Time caused positive mitzvah. If you read it a day earlier, well, if you're not in the right city or town, if you read it in Cheshvan, no good. Drinking the four cups of wine on 14 Nisan by 13 into 14 won't help, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says women are obligated in these mitzvot. Why? Sha'af hein hayu ba'oto hanes. They were all part of this miracle. And I should say, before we get too deeply into the learning, as the title advertises, learning and scholarship, we will take it through the Talmudic and medieval interpretations. And then I'll show you some scholarship, which I hope will inform and enhance our understanding of what we've done. So if you look at Psachim Daf Kuchet Amud Bet, as you see here, both Rashi, who we have on Arve Psachim in brief form, but it seems to be Rashi, and Rashbam, his grandson, who we have on the page of the Gemara, which is fairly rare, Pache Bava Batra and a couple of other places, right? Rashbam quotes Moreinu Halevi. I just lost something here. Let's see. Yeah. And they explain because of Esther, the Nashim Tzidkaniyot and Yehudit. Let me explain what that means. In each of these three cases, why are women obligated? Because Esther, of course, was a leader, the leader of the Nes Purim, the bringer, abouter, or to use a very technical Revel term, of the Nes Purim on the human side. She played a starring role. Nashim Tzidkaniyot, Martin in Sota, Daf Yud Aleph, that during the whole servitude in Egypt and enslavement, women worked valiantly to keep up Jewish family values in every sense and to allow the Jewish people to multiply as Jews. And so they played a very active role. And Yehudit, not mentioned in Kufchet, but others, Rashbam mentions it elsewhere. She is the woman who was given credit at the beginning, prior to Hanukkah, as the Hellenistic Gzeirot and requirements were put into place. There was a terrible procedure by which young brides were raped by Libayla Tafsar Tchila. There's a fancy Greek word for it, but I don't want to spend time on it now. And she was the one who did, as I like to say, she Ya'eled him, as Ya'el did to sister. She sort of bumped him off literally, and that saved women at the time of Hanukkah. So because these three women played such an active role in the precipitation of the celebration of the miracle of these three occasions, women are obligated. In other words, activism leads to participation. Very good. Very true. Very good. Tosfot in Psachim right there asks, according to their approach, they have a different approach. Tosfot argues with Rashi and Rashbam, and here's what they say in a few words. The activism side of Purim, Pesach, Hanukkah, the women, the valiant women, the women of valor, is absolutely true, but that's not how we assign mitzvot. It's perfectly true, but mitzvot have to be assigned because of the participation of all Jewish women. In what way did all Jewish women participate in these miracles? So Egypt, you could say Nashim Tzidkaniyot, but it won't work for either Purim or Hanukkah. And so Tosfot says, based on the Yerushalmi, they have a language of the Yerushalmi and just the language of the Bavli itself, Sha'af. They were also there. Namely, when Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people, he didn't want to destroy the men only. When Paro enslaved the Jews, even if women were enslaved differently, they were enslaved. They were stuck the same way. And the same thing for the Hellenistic decrees at the time of Hanukkah. The Jewish people were to be morally destroyed, men and women. So it's true. Esther is true. Nashim Tzidkaniyot is true, of course. Yehudit is true. But the Mechayev, the obligation for Tosfot, which also is true, is that women were no less spared. They were no less involved in the persecution than the men, as the Yerushalmi puts it, ba'oto safek. It was doubtful. We didn't know how it was going to turn out, right? The tension of all of these events, osakana, and therefore that's why women are obligated. So Tosfot, being completely intellectually honest, then says, wait a minute, we Tosfot have a problem. Rashi and Rashbam don't have this problem. If this principle is true, and again, especially if Yeshua ben Levi is a Tana, but even if he's an Amora, if this is a real good principle, and it seems to be, mentioned three times in the Gemara, you know, Siriyatim in each of these cases in his name. So wait a second, we could go to a fourth mitzvah and obligate women in that mitzvah where they're not typically obligated the same way that men are because of the principle of Af Hein Ayuba Oto Safek Oto Sakana. Women were also under the gun, so to speak, although I'll use that phrase differently in a little while. They were also included in the salvation involved. And what mitzvah is that? The mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, right? When the Jews were in the desert, again, discussion about whether they were protected by the divine clouds or whether by the Sukkot, but clearly, it's not that the men had to schlep through the desert and the women drove along in air-conditioned cars. Whatever was happening to the to the men in the desert was happening to the women. And therefore, if we sit in the sukkah, kiva sukkot ha-shavti et b'nei Yisrael, b'otziotam eretz mitzrayim, as part of the salvation, right? Leftech acharai b'amidbar, men and women were both saved and protected by the sukkot. We should then say, okay, men are obligated because it says so in the pasuk, right? Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, which presumes males, and women again come along. There are those who suggest, Achronim, who suggest that teishvu ke'en taduru, since in our homes we live with the men and women together, we shouldn't exclude the women on Sukkot, but that's again just a kind of an inclusionary way of doing things. They should be really obligated in Sukkot, even if they're by themselves, because they were saved during Babai and the Sukkot during the Midbar. So Tosfot, now Rashi and Rashbam don't have this problem. There was not a particular woman of value or superwoman of Sukkah. You know, I'll build you a lighter Sukkah, or whatever the names are. I don't mean to say that. But anyway, I'll build you a super duper Sukkah. Women did not have a starring role. They didn't have an active role. They were part of the group. So they have the problem. Tosfot answers, Shiny mitzvah mida oraita. Tosfot gives a very simple answer. It's not a funny answer, but it's a simple and good answer. The answer that they give simply is that since Sukkah is a mitzvah min ha-Torah, and here Rabbi Yosef Engel, other Achronim explain it this way, some might explain it differently, but basically speaking, Torah mitzvah we don't need to recruit for, right? In other words, who's ever obligated in Torah mitzvah is obligated. The Torah mitzvot don't need an expansion campaign to get more customers. Mitzvot or participants, I should say better. Mitzvot midirabbanan require an expansion of, you know, we look to involve more in mitzvot derabbanan to give those mitzvot chizuk. And so therefore, mikra megillah midirabbanan. Want to say midivrei sofer mentioned in Tanakh, but still midirabbanan, right? Again, even if it's treated in some ways specially, a dalit kosot. We'll come back to this. Matzah, of course, is obligatory from the Torah. Drinking the dalit kosot, unless you'll say it's a adjunct to the matzah, but essentially for itself, dalit kosot is a mitzvah derabbanan. I know it says v'hotzeiti v'itzalti v'galti v'lakachti. According to everyone, that's an asmachta. That is a rabbinic sort of hook on which they hang this. So that's a mitzvah midirabbanan. Hanukkah, obviously, mitzvah midirabbanan. So the one caveat for Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, says Tosfot, is according to the way we understand it, you show me a mitzvah midirabbanan where women are participating, in other words, in the persecution, unfortunately, or in the salvation, in any part of that whole complex, and the Rabbanan will obligate them. Mitzvah min ha-Torah, N.A., not applicable. And that's how they answer the question. Now, if you take a look, and I didn't print this for you, but you can have homework later. We have all kinds of reading in Revel. If you look at Rav Soloveitchik's letters, what's called Igrot HaGrid, he didn't publish them. They were published subsequently. The letters that he wrote, especially to his uncle, the Griz, to his father, of Moshe Soloveitchik, if you look at this particular point in the Igrot HaGrid, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, gives a different interpretation, sort of it's a question. Is he explaining the Tosfot, or he's offering a second interpretation? But it's an excellent one, and therefore, if the Rav said it, we'll talk about it. And he explains, Sha'af hein hayu noveya midin persume nisa. He quantifies the distinction of these three mitzvot versus sukkah in a different way. You know, sort of Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the other, right? So again, Tosfot does it one way, d'oraita d'rabbanan. The Rav Zatzal does it in terms of persume nisa. There's a chi of persume nisa in Mikra Megillah, not just Rovam Hadar Melech Stam, but there's the bracha sha'asa nisim, a bracha on to advertise the miracle very strongly. Same bracha is found Hadlakat Neirot of Hanukkah. Never mind that we try to light it in a public place with vision, you know, a visual to the street and so on, to others, to the household and so on. Even Dalit Kosot in the Seder has a Pirsumei Nisa component. And you'll tell me, wait a minute, we don't open the door till Kosher Eliyahu. Although that's interesting, that could be the fifth Kosot. But that's not where it comes from. The publicizing of Dalit Kosot comes from the fact, or can be seen in the fact, that there is, and I can't talk about this at any length now, but there is a Sha'asa Nisim type of bracha, a bracha on the nes. We focus on thanking God for the miracle itself. That bracha doesn't appear before the Haggadah because we don't make brachot on the Haggadah. We don't make a bracha to talk about Mitzrayim either. A number of reasons given. The simplest is tautology. You don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that has a bracha, right? There's brachos all over the Seder. To make a bracha introducing it would be tautological or just plain silly. We don't make a bracha on benching. It's a mitzvah min ha-Torah because the whole benching is a series of brachot. But in any case, so we don't make Sha'asani Sim. We do make Shechianu at the beginning of the Seder because that has to be made as part of the Kedushat Hayom. But there is a Sha'asa Nisim bracha embedded within the Haggadah. Again, it's time to start looking at the Haggadah. If you look just before the second kos, the bracha of Asher Ge'alanu v'Ge'alat Avotenu, Kein Yagi'enu. We've been redeemed through Nisim. We will be redeemed through Nisim. Translates into simple English, Sha'asa Nisim l'Avotenu b'yamim ha'im b'zman hazeh. So Dalit Kosot also has an aspect of Pirsumei Nisa. And so the Rav says, 1, 2, 3. Megillah, Dalit Kosot, near Hanukkah, Pirsumei Nisa. Sukkah, even though if you put your sukkah on your front yard, it depends where your driveway is and where it's not going to have, you know, rain and leaking and things, it might be more public than if you ensconce it somewhere in your backyard, not under the trees. Nonetheless, there is no chi of Pirsumei Nisa. Nobody said it's nice. You know, people tell kinds of stories of people come into their sukkah and people come in and they recognize it. But there's no such obligation to publicize the miracle in that way. So that's the Rav Soloveitchik's solution to the Tosfot problem. We'll come back to an aspect of this a little bit later. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, the great Tosafist, brother of Rashbam, co-grandson of Rashi. Rashbam is the oldest of the three sons of Rabbi Meir. Rabbeinu Tam is his younger brother by two. There was a brother who passed away tragically at an early age, I think in his 30s, in the middle, Rabbi Yitzchak. But in any case, Rabbeinu Tam, as recorded not in this Tosfot, but in his work called Sefer Hayashar, which is a work of both learning and tshuvot interpretation that we have in a form, was asked the shaila. He was asked the question by one of his students, and he gave an answer. His student, Rabbeinu Tam's student, Moshe of Pontisa, which is the French town of Pontoise, P-O-N-T-O-I-S-E. The Hebrew tends to harden the consonants, so it's Pontisa. Question whether that's the way medieval French worked, like medieval Latin, is it Cicero or Cicero? But in any case, Rabbi Moshe of Pontoise, who we know, who's a very good student of Rabbeinu Tam, asked, wait a second, can we also obligate women in Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos and Shalashudis, right? Why? And why are those two together? Because Afhein Hayu Ba'oto Hanes, right? Why do we have Lechem Mishnah? Why do we have Sudah Shlishit? Essentially all of it because of the man. The man fell in the desert. The men didn't eat the man and the women ate something else. Everybody had the man. That was obviously a nes which supported all of the Jewish people. And therefore, again, according to this Tosfot in Psachim Kufchet that we just talked about, according to that reasoning, that women's participation is what obligates them in these miracles. Women participated in these miracles. And Rabbeinu Tam says that indeed, the answer is yes. You know, again, it's not clear exactly what the conversation was, but Rabbeinu Tam says absolutely. And in this regard, Rabbeinu Tam is saying to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, not in these words, but I'll see you a three cases of Afein Hoyu, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and raise you one. I have no idea where I got that from. And raise you one. I'll give you a fourth. And it will be min hadin. It'll be a friendly amendment. Why will it work? Because it meets the criteria of the Tosfot and Psachim. It's a mitzvah midirabbanan, right? Lechem Mishnah and Shalashuris is not min haTorah, it's midirabbanan, right? So it meets that criterion, and it's afhein hayu ba'oto hanes. Women were also helped, participated in. Look, there might help. You had to have a big, had to be a great person of emunah to participate in the mun. The women had as much emunah as the men, if not more, and therefore they should be obligated. Ah, you'll tell me sukkah. So that's exactly the fault line that's exposed. And it's a matter of technicality, which in halacha is very often important, right? Sukkah, which is min haTorah in the desert, we can't obligate women in that. Lechem Mishnah Shalosh Seudot, which is a derabbanan mitzvah stemming from the experience of the desert, works with this category without any difficulty whatsoever. Now, just a parenthesis here, some of you may raise your hand or whatever and say, but wait a second, aren't women obligated in Lechem Mishnah and Shalosh Seudot anyway? Because whoever is in part of the prohibitions, midrabbanan of Shabbat, kibud va'oneg, must also do the rabbinic enhancements, and that includes Lechem Mishnah and Shalosh Seudot, and you'd be absolutely right. Why Rabbeinu Tam goes for this unusual obligation and doesn't stick with the more usual one is a discussion of the Achronim. The Ran actually asked the question in Klal Gadol. We're not going to go through that now. But bottom line, Rabbeinu Tam has no problem making this friendly amendment. Now, Rabbeinu Tam's name, we'll get back to names at the end, so I'm taking account of it now. Rabbeinu Tam's name is not mentioned in the Tosfot Psachim that I quoted. I'm just giving you snippets, but you can check all these sources out. They should be right. If they're wrong, you'll email me. That's why I give you my email on the top. They should be right. Rabbeinu Tam's name is not found in Tosfot Psachim, but his reasoning on all sides seems to be completely consistent with that approach. Again, mitzvah midirabbanan, and women had a participatory role in a, you know, a significant participation in the nisim that were involved. So it sounds like a good deal. We'll come back to that. So Rabbeinu Tam has succeeded in raising Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi up to a fourth case. All right. Now we turn, however, to a different Tosfot. And here's the one typo that I found. We may find more. Tosfot in Megillah, it's Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. I apologize. It's on the first side. Tosfot in Megillah, where Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi makes a statement about Megillah. quotes the Rashbam from Arbe Pesachim. Interestingly, I don't want to confuse, but if you look at the Rashi there in Megillah, Rashi sounds like the Tosfot reason. And there are two possibilities. Either Rashi said nothing there and someone inserted the Tosfot into Rashi, which is considered min b'she'eino mino. It's not forgery. It's not horrible. It doesn't happen that often, but it happens. Or Rashi changed his view because of something in that sugya, which is endemic to Rashi. Rashi covered all of Shas. He did not aim, as Tosfot did after him, to worry about every different sugya. Sometimes he would change his interpretation in sugya A to sugya B, where a similar portion is repeated because of something in that sugya. Again, a much larger discussion, not for now, but just to note it. So Tosfot there in Megillah, hikshu l'shitatam. They give the same explanation, the same kind of explanation as in Psachim Kufchet, not the Rashbamian approach, the Rashi-esque approach, that's how you conjugate those, that women had an activist role. It's not the Nashim Tzidkaniyot, it's that women were also part of the Gzeirat Mitzrayim, the Shiabud Mitzrayim. So they ask, according to that Shita, Sha'af hein ayu ba'oto ha-safek, they were part of that danger, Neima l'chayevet ha-Nashim gami mitzvat matzah. Again, Tosfot are both intellectually honest and they're free thinkers. They're checking all the possibilities. Wait a second. Why should we say, as we do, that women must eat matzah? And here again, they do have to eat matzah, but why? Why should we say the old reason, kol sheyesh no b'bal tochal chametz, whoever can't eat chametz on Pesach must eat matzah, because the pasuk juxtaposes those two concepts within one pasuk as a hekesh. Why learn it that way? Let's give this more prosaic reason, right? Afhein hayu bo tohanes. You know why women have to eat matzah on Pesach? Because again, when they escaped Egypt with their unleavened bread, it's not that the men hung on unleavened bread and the women were eating cake. Not true. Everybody was eating exactly the same matzah and so on and so forth. So if I ask you that Tosfot's question, and you've been following what I've been talking about, I hope, you'll say, wait a second. You'll, even though it's baseball season incipient, you'll pull out your yellow flag and you'll say illegal procedure. You can't say af hein hayu ba'oto hanes in a mitzvah min ha-Torah. That's what Tosfot Pesachim had said. Matzah, the last time we checked, is absolutely a mitzvah min ha-Torah. Therefore, according to that approach, it's simply excluded from this principle. It doesn't need this principle. It doesn't get this principle. So what is Tosfot asking and what are they talking about? And in fact, the Sefer Mordechai ben Hillel, a student of Meir of Rutenberg, who is arguably the last of the Balei HaTosfot. So Mordechai is also a great student of the Tosafists, and he gathers their material. The Mordechai in Megillah at this marking brings that simple answer. He says, you know, nolo contendere, you're right, matzah's no question. You know, the answer is, of course, it's min ha-Torah, you know, period, end of report. Okay. According to Tosafot and Pesachim, that we only say it mitzvot derabanan, that's what he answers. The Tosfot itself, however, goes on and gives answers, which means apparently that they hold that it is possible to apply af hein hayu in a mitzvah min ha-Torah, at least conceptually. It's possible, right? So there's a machloket between the Tosfot and Megillah. We'll see what they say in a second, and the Tosfot and Pesachim, and you'll say, oy vey, astira in Tosfos. No. Zulostira, it's not a contradiction, it's a machloket, because we'll have to see which Tosfot comes from which Beit Midrash, and frankly, different strokes for different Tosfot folks. Different Batei Midrash might entertain different possibilities. It's not like the Rambam. If the Rambam in Hilchos X says one thing, and he says something very similar but different, he contradicts himself in Hilchot Y. So that's how we can have the entire Brisker Torah and all kinds of other great Torah, because the Rambam wrote the work himself. No one else helped him. It's a one-man show. And if we seem to see, if seeming contradictions appear, we can try our best, and we should try our best to understand and to resolve them. In Tosfot, it's a different operation. Without going through the whole history of the Tosafists, we're dealing with many more than one person. We're not dealing with hundreds, but we're dealing with groups of Balei HaTosfot over a period of more than 100 years, and different Batei Midrash come up with different things. And of course, what I'm previewing for you is that this will be part of the scholarly treatment of all of this. It's all going to work out fine. So let's see what Tosfot Megillah indeed says. Tosfot gives two terutzim, two explanations of why we cannot say afhein hayu in a mitzvah, why we don't say it in matzah, even though we could have simply answered, we would have ended early, we could have simply answered, it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah. They don't take that approach. They give two answers, a little complicated. One of them, by the way, just for you, those of you who are keeping score on the personnel, is attributed to Rabbi Yosef Ish Yerushalayim, a Yerushalmi, an Eretz Yisrael digger. He really is, I mean, he was, but he originally was someone named Yosef of Clisson in northern France. He was a student of Ri. We'll get to that in a moment. And he actually made Aliyah with Reb Shimshon Mishans, another great student of Ri, around the year 1210, 1211. And Tosas also gives him cover. They call him a Yerushalmi. He made Aliyah. We're giving him credit towards the end of his life, as they all did, that whole group, but they give him credit for it. So he's involved in this too. But here are the two answers. Answer number one is, afhein hayu applies. Basically, both answers say, the good news is that afhein hayu b'oto anes could apply in a mitzvah min ha-Torah. The bad news is, if I may say that, it will not give us the desired result vis-a-vis matzah. In other words, it's applicable, but the application will not lead to the desired result as follows. But remember, the theoretical possibility will still exist. Answer one is, if we obligate women because of afhein hayu b'oto hanes, rather than from the hekesh of kol sheyesh do bebal tochal, whoever must not eat chametz must eat matzah, which is a Torah device, by the device from the Torah itself, the obligation of the women in matzah would be only midirabanan. So yes, indeed, you could apply afhein hayu to a mitzvah min ha-Torah, but ein lechabo el chidusho, you will only come out with a mitzvah midrabanan. And so we go with the hekesh, where women are equally obligated, even Stephen, with men in the midst of eating matzah. So that's a little bit of a diminution. It works, but it works not so well. I like the second answer better in this regard, if I may say. It's a little more complicated, but it works better. The second answer is a procedural issue. So here, the rabbis now must decide for the Torah, what is the obligation of women? So choice one, the top choice is, whoever can't eat chametz must eat matzah. That's what we call a hekesh. That's a very strong midah, shatorah nidreshet bahen, nidreshet ba. If we then say, no, let's not apply the hekesh. Let's go on to other things. You know what? Let's give the hekesh a rest. We'll let the hekesh have or for Pesach. We'll bring in afhein hayu ba'ot ha'nes. Says Tosfot, good try, but you're going to get caught up in a rules problem. Im daleg ala hekesh kol sheshto batocha chametz yeshto ma'achilat matzah, yavo kodem haklal shel gzeira shava. Afhein hayu won't get up to bat. Again, my baseball analogies, right? If you pull, that's a very good example. If you pull hekesh for a pinch hitter for afhein hayu, the problem is afhein hayu will not be allowed to bat. Why? Because the next principle in the pecking order of such principles is gzeira shava. What's a gzeira shava? It says here chamisha asar yom by Sukkis. It says here chamisha asar yom by Pesach. If we apply the Gezeira Shava, we might come out with the opposite result, that just as women are not obligated min ha-Torah to eat in Sukkah, they're also not obligated to eat in Matzah. So according to this Tosfot, afhein hayu could be applied to a Torah obligation very clearly, and it might yield the right result. The problem is that in the case of Matzah itself, it simply doesn't get up to bat. But this leaves open the possibility for sure that if I had a mitzvah min ha-Torah that I wanted to try to obligate women in, and I'm going to challenge you by about 1 minute to 11 on this very issue, maybe 2 minutes too if we're doing very well, right? If I find a mitzvah min ha-Torah that women, we're not sure what the level of women's obligation is, we might, if it fits the criteria of afhein hayu, we might be able to obligate them from the Torah, because there will be no blockage, you know, these conflicting principles, these principles of law and of halachic exegesis will not have to be, piled up. So again, if we don't say the hekesh, the problem is we'd have to say gzeir shava, tetvav from Sukkah to exempt women, and afhein hayu would be left holding the bag. But in theory, it could be applied. Here's how I just say it in my little summary. Im nidaleg, if we skip over, I always say Passover, but that's a bad joke. Allah hekesh shekol sheyeshto bal toch hachametz yeshto mechilut matzah, yavo kodem haklal shel gzeir shava, tetvav misukah, v'yiftor tanashim. Now, my own words, Ach Barur, Shalafia Tosfot B'Megillah, HaKlal Shal Afin Hayu, Shayach Ekroni, in principle, it applies to Mitzvot Min HaTorah, Davar Shehu Mamash Minugad, L'Tosfot Psachim. And so we really have a conflict here between Tosfot Psachim. They both agree with the essential nature of what it means that women are also part of these miracles, that they agree on. But they have a fundamental disagreement of whether mitzvot min haTorah are excluded. Now we come to the punchline, and we come to some of the scholarship as well. In one of his tshuvot, one of his hundreds of responsa, Maharam Rutenberg, who I mentioned before, right, the Rebbe of the Mordechai, dies in 1193 under tragic circumstances and so on, which shouldn't be gainsaid, but that's not our discussion today. Maharam Rutenberg, in one of his responsa, seems to question the Rabbeinu Tam approach that we've talked about before. The Rabbeinu Tam approach that Lecha Mishnah and Sudash Shlishit can be obligated because of Afein Hayu Baal Tohenes. And Maharam, in his tshuva, seems to have a very strong question on that Rabbeinu Tam. He really seems to get him. It's a very strong question. Namely, he says, if you're going to play Sesame Street, he doesn't use those words, if you're going to play halachic Sesame Street, one of these is not like the other, you got to be fair the other way. What's true of the three cases? If you want to make a fourth case, let me say, no, less silly. If you want to make a fourth case that really is a friendly amendment to Yoshua ben Levi, Sha'af hein hayu bo tohanes, you've got to make sure that you understand the three cases that he said his principle in, because there may be something in those that's not in the case that you want to add, right? He says like this, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi did it in Megillah, Dalet Kosot, Neirot, right? Says the Maharam, what is the essential machayev? What's the key point for Rabbi Shavli? Why did he do it? So it's not just, as I said before, because women also were saved by part. It's even more mimukad. It's even more focused than that. You have to assume it's as focused as possible. This is the quote from the Maharam's Tshuva. Hayu b'sakana v'nimletu. They were in danger and they escaped. I'll give an example, not as cool as Dr. Reinhold's examples, but I'll give an example, right? Meaning, if an enemy, Jewish people are in danger, nimlatu means they escaped the enemy. So the enemy, God forbid, is firing a bullet at them. Literally, the bullet's coming for the Jewish people. And at the last minute, the bullet is deflected, right? Again, through the Chashmonaim, through Esther, the bullet is deflected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously ratifies that deflection. That's when you have Afhein Hayu Ba'ota Anes. The Jews were Bisakana V'Nimletu. I hate to keep using this example, especially today with what's going on, but the Jews were literally under the gun. That's not true, however, for Lecha Mishnah and Shalosh Shuris, or for that matter, Sukkah, right? When the Jews were in the desert, right? So yes, it was dangerous. Yes, it was an alien and a barren environment. But who were they running from? Nobody. They were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lechtech acharai bamidbar. It's an inside job. They're not in Sakana, and Sakana presumes the Nimlatu, an external enemy that they and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bezrat Hashem, are able to deflect the danger. That's an inside job between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're being treated very well by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Simlat chalov al tami alecha. You have man, you have water, you have all kinds of ways to preserve yourselves. Nobody's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God forbid, is not doing them in. Nobody's coming after them. And therefore, lo hayu b'sakana v'lo nimlatu. Again, it's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're living on HaKadosh Baruch Hu time. And therefore, according to Maharam, this extension of Rabbeinu Tam is imprecise because it doesn't match the state of danger in any way and in any critical way as compared to the other three cases of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, right? Now, again, by the way, according to Maharam Rutenberg, if you showed him a Deoraita mitzvah, where hayu b'sakana v'nimletu, right? A Doraita precept where the Jewish people, were in danger and escape, and the result is mitzvah min haTorah. Would Maharam shy away from that? No, he's saying Yeshua ben Levi can apply to a Doraita too, but it's got to match the key criterion or the key criteria, namely hayu b'sakana, but also v'nimletu, sakana from acherim, from oivim. V'nimletu. And therefore, he questions very mightily Rabbeinu Tam's point as a fourth friendly amendment. Now, he doesn't suggest another one, we will, but one could then suggest in different ways. Now, as I conclude here, Maharam's approach, l'chora to'amim et ha-Tosfot Masechet Megillah. If we think about it, Maharam should go make a deal with Tosfot Megillah, because they said that afein ha'yu can apply to matzah, right? They come up with all kinds of problems, but it could apply. So Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfot Psachim, he makes his amendment based on Tosfot Psachim. Maharam raises his objection based on the Tosfot in Megillah, which is against Tosfot Psachim and Rabbeinu Tam. So if I stop right here, I've got 6 minutes, so I'm okay. If I stop right here, you'd say, wonderful, we discovered sort of a split, a nice pitzul, a very lomdisha pitzul, between different types of Tosfot, Tosfot Psachim, Tosfot Megillah. One holds that Afein Hayu, and both of them agree on the basic principle of women's participation and involvement, but they sort of diverge as to why it can or can't be extended to other mitzvot. Tosfot Psachim are these strict constructionists, not mitzvah min ha-Torah, anything else okay. And Tosfot Megillah, if we apply the Maharam to that, might say, sure, just get me a kind of danger mitzvah, not danger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's no danger. You're with him, he's protecting you, right? No doubt about it. All the miracles you need will happen. But it's got to be a danger from an external enemy. But before I put that all together, I want to show you the real fun part here. Let me see if I can just pull this up a little bit. If you look at manuscripts here, and not on, well, I'll show you where. In fact, we can show that this tshuva of Maharami Rutenberg is really a psak of the Ri of Dompierre. Ri of Dompierre was Rabbeinu Tam's star student, the great-grandson of Rashi, and even as he was totally devoted to Rabbeinu Tam and totally his student, like any good yeshiva student, he could totally argue with and sometimes even best his Rebbe, if I may say that. Like the Rav loved to say to us, say it better. Of course, he never liked to lose and he never did lose. But I guess Rabbeinu Tam wins more. But the Re, you're talking about a battle between, you know, Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. I mean, it's the battle of the giants, right? And sometimes one won and sometimes the other won, if I can say that, right? So now, I'll show it to you, I'll prove it to you in the minutes that remain, but let me just make the summary statement. So now, Zot Omeret, I'm talking, Shiesh b'chol ha'inyan hazeh machloket yesodit bein Rabbeinu Tam l'ri, assuming I can convince you that this Maharam is Ri, but I will in a second. It's now not just a battle between Tosfot Psachim and Tosfot Megillah, it's a battle between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. Tosfot Psachim is going like the Rabbeinu Tam, which is perfectly understandable. Tosfot Megillah is going like the Ri, and that's why they have a whole different approach. And just to add on a scholarly note, Professor Urbach, Olivah Shalom, great scholar of the Tosafists, has a chapter 13 in his great magnum opus on Balei HaTosfot. He calls it Mayim Shalanu, not for Pesach, for the matzah. I'm sorry, he calls it Tosfot Shalanu. I blew the joke. Not Mayim Shalanu, but Tosfot Shalanu, right? Our Tosfot, where do they come from? He points out that Tosfot, the printed Tosfot that we have to Masechet Megillah, were edited, were put together by Rabbi Yehuda Sirleon here, who was a student of the Ri. Whereas the Tosfot to Arvei Psachim were edited by Rabbi Yechiel of Paris. Now, Yechiel of Paris is a younger contemporary of Rabbi Yehuda Sirleon. My point is, these two Tosfot come from two completely different, inimical, but from two completely different Tosfot Batei Midrash. One, as I say in the last paragraph, Rabbi Yechiel in Tosfot Psachim, in Arvei Psachim, he adopts, she taught Rabbeinu Tam in his Tosfot, while Rabbi Yehuda Sirleon adopts in his Tosfot his Rebbe Shita. And by the way, I think that's why Yosef Yishur Shalaim is mentioned. He's a Re student too. So it's not the A team and the B team, but the Rabbeinu Tam and the Re team, if I can just coin a phrase. Now, there's also a tremendous nafkamina here. There's a tremendous difference that we can look at, right? In explanation, we've already said the difference. Tosfot Megillah Re hold that Afhein Hayu can be applied to a mitzvah min haTorah, whereas Tosfot Psachim and Rabbeinu Tam hold that it cannot. And so the last thing I'm going to ask you after I show you these nice texts for a second is, ha'im efshar la'atzia nafkamina prakti kazeh? Can we go in search of, and we will for about a minute at the very end, go in search of a practical nafkamina. Let's take a mitzvah, where Tosfot Megillah might say afhein hayu ba'otohanes works, and it works well. Whereas, and it won't have the rules problems that we had before. Whereas Tosafot Pesachim Rabbeinu Tam would say, no, mitzvah min haTorah, you can't do it. Let me just show you very quickly, and these are yours to look at, the forensics for how we know that the Maharam is the Ri. And by the way, it's not something to worry about. Many tshuvot collected by Maharami Rutenberg were not his. If he signs it, Meir ben Baruch, either Sheyichya or Zal, or Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo, his father's name, you know it's his. If it's not signed by Maharam, it may not be his. And so here you have Eshiv Rabbeinu Tamler Moshe Mipontiza, Nashim Chayavot Begimel Sudot, Afakav Dahavim Mitzvah Teshez Bangrama, Afhein Hayu Ba'oto Hanes. So here, I cut up the tshuva, you'll forgive me, but if you take a look, right, he has some problems with it, the Maharam, it seems, if it's the Maharam. Aval Mikom Makom Lo Shayach Tamat Afhein Hayu, here's where he puts the kibosh. Again, the enemy pursuing with the flying bullets, God forbid. That's the Tshuvat Maharam. The left-hand side is a Cambridge manuscript of something called Piskei Ari. We have a published version. I won't go through all of it now. The middle one is another version. There are all kinds of versions, but watch this. This is in the Piskei Ari, the decisions of Ari. This is all controlled by Ari. Tell me how dissimilar this one is to this one. The answer is not even in po, less than a po. It's kimat zahe. Hey Shiv Rabbeinu Tam, Nashim Chayavot Gimel Sudot, Afa gave Zaman Gramahi, at least let's drop the name of a student, common, Afa Nayubo Tohanes, Chayavin Livtsoa Shte Kikrot, right again, Lechemishna, Shalashudis, right? Okay. Nired lo shayach ta'ama da'afhein hayu ba'oto hanes. Why does this work? Elash al yedei hanes. In other words, again, here's the re slash Maharam's objection, but it really is the re's. Elash al yedei hanes ba'a hamitzvah. Right? Literally, the miracle causes the mitzvah. Right? Kemo b'bakom mikrach megilah shekulam hayu b'sakana u'b'chanak, it's from the bottom, v'nimletu u'b'dalet kosot u'b'hagadah. Right? They were literally under the gun and they escaped. So Ri and Maharam are identical, which means that, again, nothing personal to say today. We'll do plagiarism, God forbid, none of that here. Material gets collected in Shuvot Maharam that's not necessarily his. In fact, there's tremendous amount that's not necessarily his, along with the tremendous amount that is his. And it's our job to figure out which comes from whom. So let's put the bottom line together and go for that nafkamina, which actually we've already seen, but I didn't stress it. So again, bottom line. We have Rashi and Rashbam. Women were active in these three mitzvot. Esther, Yehudis, Nashim Tzidkoniyos. By the way, would Rashi and Rashbam allow this principle to be applied to a mitzvah in HaTorah? Maybe. They just don't mention one, right? They don't get involved in all that. You find me an activist woman in a mitzvah in HaTorah, we'll let her in. Maybe. Tosfot decidedly disagrees. And again, they've got great linguistics on it. Afhein Hayu, they've got a Yerushalmi. It's that women's obligation in mitzvot. Again, Esther is true, Yehudis is true, Nashim Tzidkoniyos is true, it's all true, but you obligate women based on their inclusion in the salvation. They were in danger and they were saved. Okay, Tosafot Pesachim raises the question of Masukah, answers very simply and boringly, Min HaTorah, we don't apply the principle. Rabbeinu Tam seems to take advantage of that and say, wait, I can give you a fourth, you know, Echad Miyodea. I can give you a fourth mitzvah, Lechem Mishnah Shalashudis. That's not Min HaTorah. Women were part of the story there. They enjoyed the mace of the man, and everything is hunky-dory. Comes Tosot Megillah and asks about matzah. That's the killer, quote-unquote, in learning. The Mordechai says, hey, didn't you hear Tosot Pesachim? It's Min HaTorah. Tosfot itself, though, gives answers which clearly suggest that it is open to the possibility of expanding this principle to a mitzvah taseh shazman grama, afhein hayu, to a mitzvah min haTorah. It just doesn't work in matzah for technical reasons, right? Technical rules reasons, rules clauses, different kinds of rules. Okay. We've then seen that the Rabbeinu Tam is questioned in the Tshuvat Maharam in a very strong way. Rabbeinu Tam, you're not correct. Because what's the difference between you? You're not correct, Rabbeinu Tam. Because in Rabbi Shub and Levi's cases, there was that metaphysical bullet, maybe not so metaphysical, that was chasing them. And it was diverted. That was the Hatzalah, Alanisim. It was diverted in that way. That will not apply to Lechem Mishnah and Shalosh Shudas because they're resting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not going to shoot them, God forbid. He's not going to turn against his own people. That's for crazy humans to do, not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He never does that, right? So it's not Hayu B'Sakana V'Nimutu. At the very end, I showed you, and here's where the scholarship and the learning are hopefully coming together, and I'll conclude. The Kitvayad tell us, and again, it's just a matter of identification, but I think it's significant. The Kitvayad tell us that the Maharam's tshuva is Ri. So Ri is arguing with Rabbeinu Tam, so it makes it less unusual. Ri and Rabbeinu Tam argue all the time, but it therefore makes it even stronger. Ri is arguing against Rabbeinu Tam and introducing this idea of Hayu B'Sakana V'Nimletu. And again, we raise the question, finally, so can we come up with a mitzvah min HaTorah that women should be obligated in because of Afhein Hayuba Otohanes, where Rabbeinu Tam would say no, Tosot Psachim would say no, because it's been a Torah, and the Ri and Tosot Megillah would say yes. So in the interest of time, I'm going to have to play all the parts. Somebody out there would have said to me, Parsha Zohar, right? Women participate. So first of all, there are all kinds of questions. Women are not benot milchama, yes, benot milchama. They do participate. Achronim talk about, they participate on the home front. Very interesting. There's a Rashash in Nazir, I think. Anyway, I'll talk about that some other time. But you can email me. But the real problem with Parsha Zohar is it's both an asay, and again, I'm not paskening. It's both an asay to remember and a lo tishkach. It's also a lav. And so many poskim say women should indeed listen. Again, forgetting if the thing is a time cause kind of an issue, there's a lav here. If there's a lav, there's no principle of mitzvah tasei shazman grama the lo tasa takes over. But here's the candidate, and it was actually said by the Ri, Haggadah. The mitzvah to read the Haggadah, but I'll impose a principle that the Ri wouldn't have, but in Nafgamina land, this is fair. All's fair in war, love, and Nafgamina land. Haggadah, according to the approach of the Rambam and the Chinuch, that saying the Haggadah Pesach night is not a mitzvah midirabanan, as many Rishonim hold. They hold it as a mitzvah min HaTorah. Right? He got it. It's a mitzvah min HaTorah. The Rambam, followed by the Chinuch, his aide-de-camp, right, his follower, they hold it's a mitzvah min HaTorah. So if I ask, so here's the question, folks. Women's obligation in Haggadah, Pesach night, because of Afhein Hayu Botohanes. And again, separating it out from Matzah and Maror, leaving it by itself. Again, you know, pristine laboratory condition, Nafkamina, don't link it with anything else, right? Just Haggadah. Should women have to recite the Haggadah? You know, what's the valence? What's the chiyuv? Because of Afin Hayu Ba'otohanes. So Tosfot Psachim Rabbeinu Tam would say, sorry, you're going to have to find another reason. Now, we can't find other reasons, right? It's part of Matzah and Mara, secrets is Mitzrayim. It's a bigger story, right? But you can't do it from Afin Hayu Ba'otohanes. Why? Because that doesn't apply to Mitzvot Min HaTorah. Sorry, no, nobody home. Again, I suggest Rashi and Rashbam would say, why not? Who cares if it's Min HaTorah? Right? Women, the Nashon Tzidkoniyos who saved the Jews in Egypt, saved the Jewish life and all of that, Jewish morality. Go for it. They're stars. Go for it. That's speculative, but I think it's correct. But the surprise candidate would be the Ri and Tosfot Megillah. They would say, women, batter up, on deck. You must recite the Haggadah Min HaTorah. Because of the principle of Afhein Hayu Ba'otohanes. Now, this is not about whether the Rishonim, you know, think women should be more or less. This is not about women. It is, but it isn't. It's about how we understand these chiyuvim. And I hope I've shown you, albeit quickly, but you can take a look at these sheets. We can get your copies. I'm happy to send it to you. We can show here that the learning is, you know, really well enhanced, I think, by what we find on the scholarly side in terms of making these kinds of comparisons. Thank you very much. I'm a little over. I apologize. Thank you very much. Chag Kosher V'Sameach. It's Rosh Chodesh Benchi. You can already say all the words, right? Daniel's right. And thank you so much, everybody, for being here.